I'm Anita Lustria, and this is Faith Conversations. I'm delighted to have on the podcast Trevor Hudson. And for those of you who were aware of Midday Connection and the program that I used to do, then you might be familiar with the name Trevor Hudson. Trevor did a series with us on a favorite book of mine, Discovering Our Spiritual Identity. My husband and I recommend it often, have recommended it and taken small groups through it, and it's a tremendous resource. But that's not what we're going to talk with Trevor about today. I was looking online, I don't even know how I happened upon it, but I found out that he has written a new book called Beyond Loneliness, The Gift of God's Friendship. And the title spoke to me for many reasons, and I thought, we need to talk about this, and I'm going to try and track Trevor down. And Trevor Hudson, if you are unfamiliar, he oversees the Institute for Creative Conversation at Northfield Methodist Church in Benoni, South Africa. And so to find him actually here in the U.S. On assignment the past week or so or more at Fuller Seminary was a delight, because I figured it might be a little easier to get in touch with him while he's here in the United States than once he heads back to South Africa. Trevor, welcome to Faith Conversations.
Hello, Anita. It's really a privilege to be with you, and also a real privilege to be with those who will be listening to the podcast. Thanks for this opportunity, and thanks, too, for the conversation.
Well, and you are a good conversationalist. Another reason I'm delighted to connect with you. You're author of multiple books. I just mentioned one of them, but there are many others, and I will have a link to certainly what we're talking about today, but I'll have all of that information on my website for folks to look up and find out more about you. But I think it's time we just need to launch into this topic. I'm personally curious why this is an important topic for you to connect with and to write about.
Anita, I think for two reasons. For over 40 years, I was a pastor, and one of the great privileges of being a pastor is that one is given sacred access, really, into the lives of people. And no matter where I happen to pastor, and I pastored over 40 years in three different contexts, middle of the city, suburban, and rural, wherever I happen to pastor, I came across loneliness. And as I speak about in the book, loneliness, you know, has so many different dimensions and facets. But that was the one reason I wanted to address the theme. I think it's a common human theme. There are many human beings today who are very, very lonely. Loneliness is loose on the landscape.
Yes, I agree.
I think the other reason is that friendship has been an important theme of my own understanding of my relationship with God. The metaphor of friendship seems to bring alive for me the kind of relationship that God desires with each one of us. Mm. And so I've brought together both this pastoral concern of loneliness, as well as my own personal journey as a friend of God.
Mm. I love that, as a friend of God, because I wanted to get a copy of the book because of the title, Beyond Loneliness. And then when I looked at the subtitle, The Gift of God's Friendship, I thought, now I wonder where Trevor is going to take this conversation. And I'll just say that I agree with you 100%. I think loneliness is epidemic in our world. And I think that many of us who are followers of Christ struggle with knowing and understanding how to truly develop a friendship with God. We understand it a little bit, and I'll say a little bit in the human context, because I think we struggle with it in the human context as well. I've talked with probably mostly women through the years who have been asking many questions about how do I develop a friendship to begin with? How do I even begin? And I feel like there's not really good teaching on it in churches or even society as a whole. And so for several reasons, I'm glad to see you writing on it. But do you agree with that it's a struggle point both humanly, and so hence we struggle maybe even more with God, who we cannot see?
You're spot on with that, Anita. The very fact that loneliness is so prevalent today speaks of the absence of human friendship in people's lives. So that's really a start, and I needed to take that on board in writing this book, that many people who would be reading this book simply at a human level are perhaps battling in the whole realm of having good friends. I was speaking to a business person the other day, and his comment has just stayed with me for some time. He just said, you know, Trevor, I have so many acquaintances. I have very, very few, if any, friends. And I think the world of social media, I think, plays into that sense of distance. And I would say that while it certainly brings with it a gift of connection, it also accentuates the kind of anonymity and distance that we can so often have in our human connections. So, and then given that fact, I realized that talking about friendship with God and using the analogy of friendship could be quite challenging, because people don't have in their own experience perhaps a rich experience of human friendship. So I'm really hoping that folk who read Beyond Loneliness, The Gift of God's Friendship, find ways both of growing friendship with God as well as friendship, new friendships with other people in their lives.
You know, it's interesting. A number of years ago, I wrote a book called What Women Tell Me, and I flipped back open. It's been a while since I've looked at it, but the first chapter is called It's Lonely at Church. And I had forgotten, forgotten that I opened up the whole book telling a story of me at a choir rehearsal back before the days of praise teams and all that. I was in this church choir, and the choir director said, you know, I'm going to pass around a basket. I want you to write down a prayer request and toss it in the basket, and you know, then we'll pass it back around, and people will pick out a request, and I want you to pray for that person for the week. And he said, beyond that, I want it to be personal, not about Aunt Martha in, you know, Washington State that's struggling with an illness, and you know, that's all fine, but I want it to be more personal. And I immediately knew what my prayer request needed to be. The big question was whether I was going to sign my name or not. And right. As the basket got closer and closer, I finally signed my name, folded it, tossed it in, and the request said, I am very lonely. Please pray for me, Anita. And I just thought, okay, God, I'm putting it out there. And then after the rehearsal, I was talking with someone, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw a little piece of paper crumbled on the ground. I picked it up to throw it away. And at the very last minute, I opened it up to look at it, and it was my prayer request.
Wow.
And so I say that, this was years ago, and I'm not in the same space that I was in then, but I say that to say, I think we're uncomfortable and we are not sure what to do when someone expresses their loneliness to us.
Right. And well, first of all, let me respond just by saying that I'm just really moved by your willingness in that moment many, many years ago to share your loneliness. I think for many people, their struggle to say, I'm going through a lonely period in their life, almost accentuates the experience of loneliness in their life. And one of the things that I seek to do, I think it's in the very first chapter, is to address the resistance within ourselves to put on the table the fact that we might be going through a lonely time in our life, whether it be as I mentioned in the book, the loneliness of loss, the loneliness of depression, the loneliness of sometimes even holding leadership when I know the buck stops with me. There's just a whole, so many different kinds of loneliness.
Yes.
And something can begin to happen that is good when we do have the courage to share it.
Well, and the reality is, you say this early on in the book, you explore the two interwoven themes, the theme of friendship and personal transformation. And as I've grown in Christ and grown in actually how to develop relationships, because I really didn't know how to do it in my earlier days, and I'm grateful I have some beautiful friendships at this point in time, but I think what I didn't know until that occurred, and God just kind of pulled me forward into and opened the door for some relationships, I didn't understand how much personal transformation would take place in that context, which makes perfect sense in the context of our relationship and friendship with God Himself. But I think I don't know that I realized there would be so much transformation in the human relationships, but I somehow didn't equate that to, oh, and that's what can happen with God as well. I don't necessarily make that leap.
Right. Friendships, human and divine, change us, and they change us very, very profoundly and very, very deeply. And once I step consciously and deliberately and intentionally into this world of friendship, both with God and with those that God gives me along the way, I place myself within a milieu in which a friendship can begin to happen.
Yes, placing ourselves in that space where relationships can develop, is one thing, but I think we need a deeper encouragement. I mean, obviously you're encouraging us this direction through your book, but I would like to hear preaching on this. Honestly, I would like to hear preaching on friendship with God and friendship with others. I mean, I speak about this on a retreat level, but I want to hear this in the pulpits of our churches.
Right, and for me, when you think of it, Anita, it's such good news that God wants to be our friend, and that in Jesus Christ, through His life, His death, His resurrection, everything has been done for that divine friendship to be freely offered to every human being. And certainly as a person who has the privilege of preaching as myself, I really love being able to say to people, you're invited into a friendship. Mm. And for me, that is the kind of the graceful offer of our gospel.
How do we move from those superficial kinds of relationships, personally with people in our lives, but also I think our human relationships probably are a mirror of our relationship with God. That's my guess.
Oh, I think you're right, and I think that very often we have similar. I think I'm not too sure if this will make sense to your listeners. We have a kind of similar way of relating, both in our human friendships and in our friendship with God. I think we are the same person, so we bring to both sets of relationships certain relational patterns, and one reflects the other, which also means that if we're able to maybe begin to change the way we relate, let's say, to God, there's a very high possibility that there will be ripples of influence in the way we begin also to relate to those around about us. In the same way, as we perhaps take one or two risks in our ways of relating with those around about us, I think that too can have a ripple effect upon the way we relate to God.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think one of the things that I want to mention too at this juncture, you're a teacher. I'm trying to think of the. I know you're a pastor, but you want to always engage us to go deeper. And I guess I always feel like that's sort of the teacher in you. Maybe I don't know. I know it's your spiritual formation heart, but I love that you have all that to say. I love that you have these friendship exercises all throughout the book. And they're not lightweight. Your stuff isn't anyway. But you're asking deeper questions. You are pulling us deeper toward the heart of God, even as we think about some questions and issues that might take us deeper in human relationships as well. What is it? I'm trying to think what I'm really wanting to ask here, Trevor. You, this interactive method, what is so appealing about that method for you? You use it often.
Right. And I think the reason that I use it often is that I think the Christian world is loaded with lots of good information and good insight. Over the years, I have learned personally that information, good as it is, does not transform human life.
Preach. Preach, yes.
And there is another dimension that's very important. Information doesn't do it, nor does inspiration do it alone. Now again, I'm not knocking inspiration. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful to be inspired, and it's wonderful to go to a rousing service and to be inspired by a great preacher or a teacher, but inspiration as well by itself does not transform human life. And I think we know that. But for me, what does bring about a genuine change and transformation in our lives is when we actually begin to interact, when we begin to experientially interact with one another, and when we begin to interact with God. And for me, the key word of real change in our lives is, can I bring myself into a more interactive friendship with God and others? And can I perhaps facilitate that experience for others as well? And I've really have been encouraged that some of the responses that I've received to this book, many of the responses have focused in on the friendship exercises. Mm. That somehow they have facilitated between people and between people and God something that is something that's fresh, something that has been really meaningful, and maybe something that has really brought about a bit of change in people's lives. That is a very deep conviction of mine. Mm-hmm. Information, inspiration, don't do it by themselves, important as those two things are. Interaction really, really does it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've looked at this book and contemplated teaching a study on it. I just think it's really powerful. Love it. And I think one of the places I want to go with you right now is talking about God's longing for friendship. I think this is a concept that at first blush we could maybe nod our heads and give assent, but I think deep down, I think we think, well, God is God. He doesn't need our friendship. I would like you to speak to that.
Right. You're touching very deep theological rivers here. I think at some stage along our Christian journey, we need to at least ask the question, why has God created me? Now, obviously, God has not created us because God is lonely. God exists in a rich relational life of the Trinity, mm-hmm. and the Trinity has been there from eternity to eternity. And so God is not lonely. God shares in a rich relational life in the persons of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Which is a great model, obviously. I mean, that's the
absolutely,
for us.
Absolutely. Yes. And it's out of that rich relational life that God has that God creates us. And the only logical response to that is that God really wants us to be here. And that my very, very existence, when I look into the mirror in the morning, my very existence is a sign of God's desire that God wants me to be here, that God desires my existence, my company, and my friendship. And any longing that I may have towards God for me is always simply an echo of the primary longing that God has for us. Mm-hmm. We only love because God loved us first. And for me, the good news of Genesis is that we are here because God wants us to be here. And as one of my mentors often used to say, God really has no illegitimate children. Mm. And I can go to every human being genuinely, respectfully, and say to them, you are here because God wants to enter into friendship with you.
You know, it's interesting. I think one of the issues that comes up, probably for men as well, but I've heard it often in the context of women, is truly believing that we are loved by God and struggling with that. And I think even what you're touching on here touches on that fact as well,
sure,
which I think is
sure.
something that we can struggle with and something that we need to think about and to talk through. I think where we need to go, though, maybe I'll tell a story and then you can kind of comment out of that.
Right, Anita, sure.
So my husband and I just made a big move. We've lived for years and years in Chicago and in that Chicago area. And so we've just made a move from Illinois to Florida. And my podcast, regular podcast listeners know this. And I'm an introvert, so I love alone time. You know, that's all fine. And it's been many years, actually, since I've felt lonely. And so, surprise to me, waking up one day feeling deeply lonely. And it was an interesting revelation, I guess, to me, Trevor, to realize that I had been very comfortable where I had lived and where I had been, and maybe even, possibly, substituted wonderful human relationships for my relationship with God. So I think this is a revelation that's coming up, that there's this interesting line that we walk. We need both. And I think that sometimes one can,
sure.
We can substitute human relationships. And that's probably not all that was going on, certainly. I mean, there can be a loneliness when you make a big move, normal connections with people and place are disrupted in a major way. Some of that is, you know, to be expected, but it caught me off guard. And I mean, the positive side of it, I mean, it really did push me to lean into Jesus like I hadn't in a long time.
Right.
And I think that was the realization for me. It's like, wow, I've not, there's a piece here that's been missing, but I didn't even know it.
Right. Thank you for that, Anita. Perhaps I can offer two comments in response to what you've shared. And the one is, I don't think we need to feel bad or guilty about our need for human friendship. I think that's the way we've been created. We've been created by love, in love, to love, as I often like to say. And we've been made for friendship. So that's built into us. It's not good for us to be alone. That's my first comment. We have a really legitimate need for nourishing human friendships. I think that when they become primary, and this is my second comment, when those human friendships become primary in our lives, I think they can become substitutes for that deep longing that ultimately only God in Jesus Christ can meet and fulfill. So I think there is a danger, having affirmed our need for friendship, there is a danger when those friendships become primary and almost begin to occupy the space in our life that only God can occupy. I think I say in the book that there's like this kind of friendship-shaped vacuum in our lives that ultimately we can only find fulfillment within a friendship with God. And when that's in place, there is a sense in which I also become safer, a safer person in my friendships with others. Perhaps even less needy. I have maybe more to give, more to share with others, because of this primary friendship with God.
And tail of that, I love that comment. On the tail of that comment, you know, we look around and we see. I've known people, and I have been that person at times who have maybe developed a less than healthy friendship. And because it's been someone who's unsafe, and I've had to kind of learn. And so my question is, if we learn to develop that relationship with the divine, lean into that, yes, does that indeed help us learn and understand how what human relationships we might gravitate toward, or give us a better model of look, you know, of how to find who safe people are?
I find that a very, very challenging question. I think that, again, and perhaps I can also be a little personal here, that as I reflect upon my own journey of friendship with God, that as that journey has slowly unfolded, God has, because of that friendship, God has brought certain people into my life who have a similar friendship with God, and there is a sense in which those friendships have just become so, so significant, and there's almost a tone and a texture to them. I'm almost a little bit reluctant to call them spiritual friendships, because I don't like to kind of have non-spiritual and spiritual categories, but there is really a rich dimension in those friendships that have come about as a consequence of my friendship with God.
One of the things that I heard, it like dawned on me, yes, we develop that deeper friendship with God, we become the safe person, and that is indeed who will be attracted to us, and who we will attract.
Right. And I think also, and I find it's often on my travels, because I'm often in your country and often with people that I haven't got a long track record with in terms of friendship, but we do have in common a common longing, a common yearning to live as a friend of Jesus, to grow our friendship with God. And somehow, just that shared longing and yearning kind of facilitates a human connection that is really a gift for me of grace, and very deep gratitude.
I'm thinking about, and I know you write about this as well. I mean, this is no revelation. We live in a very broken world, and even in the context of our churches, you know, there are, I do think of our churches hopefully as being somewhat of hospitals, caring for those who, need the friendship of God, but the friendship of others as well. But sometimes we can struggle. And you also taught, you kind of marry, I think, maybe even as you talk about God's dream, yeah, as well, and maybe marry the two together. I think we can struggle sometimes because we can't, each of us has a different capacity for friendship, human friendship.
Right.
I've realized I'm sort of fishing for exactly the right question, what I'm actually trying to ask you. How can we best look outward, I guess, because you talk about that, and reach out and become a friend to those who genuinely need it, sometimes beyond our capacity, maybe.
Let me respond perhaps in bits and pieces a little bit. I think for me, part of my response would be to say to God, Lord, today I want to live as your friend wherever I go. So I would like to reflect in all my conversations and all my human encounters, I would like to reflect something of you and something of your friendship with us. Now, I'm going to be involved in a whole lot of human encounters during that day. And I'm not expecting everyone to be filled with depth and wonder and great sharing. But I think that even in very kind of spontaneous encounters with people, we can live as a friend of God in that encounter and somehow bring to it a quality of presence, a quality of listening, a quality of other-centeredness that can, in that brief moment, really be a gift to that other person, and let that person walk away with a sense that of that it has been hopefully for them a good experience, and hopefully even more, an experience in which they felt something of God's love and God's care, even if God's name was not mentioned. So I like personally to live consciously through the day as God's friend, knowing that God's dream is to really have a world where people are living in friendship with God. That's the primary relationship. But also learning to live in friendship with each other and with all of creation. So I like to live into that reality, that dream as it were, and to represent that dream simply in everyday encounters, at home, within teaching contexts, and within the community as such. So I think to carry with ourselves a consciousness of, I'm living today as a friend of Christ's, and allow that consciousness to really shape the way we reflect that friendship in appropriate ways to the people that we meet each day. It's like an adventure, and again and again and again, it's been wonderful just to see how God can use ordinary moments of encounter to do something quite special in people's lives.
One of the things that comes to my mind is spiritual direction comes to my mind in this way, that if we were all able to live in this way that you're talking about, the way that God has designed us, I wonder if there would even be need for spiritual direction. I think about that. I think if we were in these deep friendships with God and living in that awareness that you're just talking about. And but I guess that's, you know, I'm looking to the perfection of eternity, right? You know, but I think to develop to be that kind of man or woman, and to be open and accessible. I know you're just talking about daily encounters, not maybe sitting down, but I do think about the broader body of Christ. If we had that depth of relationship with others and God, that we could be that to one another.
I think it is a wonderful thing when congregations become places, local congregations become places where friendships, where we can literally yes. have a one another life. And I think so much of church life is programmed against the formation, in yes. fact, of those kinds of friendships. But for me, at its heart, a congregation is a... I love the word the Quakers use for their churches. They call them societies of friends. And I really... I think there is something there, that as a friend of Christ's, we become friends with one another. And that a congregation that is really functioning well is providing ordinary spaces for people to grow in friendship, where we can walk with each other as we walk with
that.
God.
I like that too, societies of friends. I didn't realize, yes it is, that's
Isn't
beautiful.
Isn't that a lovely phrase?
Trevor, give a final word of encouragement to that person who, you know, it may be struggling with loneliness and has a relationship with God, but maybe an encouragement, maybe even a friendship exercise that could be helpful to them?
Well, I think the first step is what you did many years ago. I think sometimes it takes a certain courage to actually say to myself and maybe to God, I'm going through a time of loneliness. And for me, that's the starting point. And maybe the next step, and this, it is a difficult step, but it's one that I find can really lead us to life, is to, God, is there someone that I can really trust with my loneliness? And that person may be within my family circle, and I would want to look there first. And sometimes it can be quite a thing to say to one's own marriage partner, maybe to one's parent, to one's child, I'm going through a time of real loneliness at the moment. And to share it, not in such a way that I'm looking to that person to right. fix that loneliness. That will, mm-hmm. you know, that will scare them and they'll run. But I'm simply bringing it to them. Maybe it may lead to a conversation. And then I think for me the third level is to begin to think of ways in which I can, even if I'm in a space of loneliness, ways in which I can begin to be a friend to those around about me in appropriate ways. And that may also involve a few risks and a kind of a movement towards others, which for some of us can be very, very difficult. But I think perhaps lastly, let me say this, is to actually begin to share this and talk about this with God in a very yes, real, yes. honest conversation.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. I think that's a great place for us to wrap up our conversation today. I am just delighted to have caught up with you before you hopped on the plane and headed back to South Africa. Trevor, thank you. I know you're under the weather, so
yes,
I'm deeply grateful for your time.
It's been a real joy, and I am encouraged by the fact that you wanted to have a conversation.
I did indeed. I'm Anita Lustria, and this is Faith Conversations.